Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art history gossip podcast. Yeah, we've got our flowers on today.
Flowers.
We went floral. We followed the assignment.
Who is she?
Yes. And I have my I don't know if you can see my little communist symbol.
Yeah, it's a...
It's the little
not to sound stupid. I was gonna say hammer
really
and
good.
Spade.
I feel like the hammer and sickle.
It's
but
a sickle.
I think I did pretty good.
Yeah, no, you did good. I couldn't really tell what it was at first, but now I can.
So we are getting a little political.
We're getting political
here today with the nature
politics. I think I have an idea who we're going to talk about.
Style icon.
But yeah, excuse me for saying hammer and spade. I'm on like 3 hours of sleep, you guys. Two fucking kids at home who I love dearly, but goddamn if they're...
Mom!
So if I say something stupid...
Mom.
No, my favorite is wipe from the bathroom, and you're like, oh, we're at this stage. Okay.
No.
It's just there's something built into you biologically after children that just like any other kid that's not yours could do something, and you'd be like, that is fucking annoying and disgusting. But then your kid does it, and you're like, that is fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Biological.
It's been a week. It's been a
chemical.
Week. This week's been a year.
Is it cold there now?
It's fucking freezing. Yeah, I'm like pretending that we're going somewhere tropical. It's 42 degrees outside.
To be totally honest, I've been looking at houses
over
there. So
I want to try here.
I might. My husband is so ready for like full blown country, like stars, crickets, winter. That's the only thing that I don't want to do is winter.
Dude, whatever. You'll just be inside. Don't even worry about it.
I just don't know about it. I don't know about it. He wants to mow the lawn. Like, he wants to be like Hank Hill.
Mexican
he wants to
Hill.
Be outside.
I love it.
100% be outside with a beer.
You guys can literally live next door to us. I'm not opposed to it.
Yep.
It definitely is a different world. Like living in California, you are the majority when you walk around as your cute little I'm a Democrat.
Oh, I love your pride stuff.
I'm, you know, so liberal. here it's like, you actually think that. Okay. I've never been asked if I want to go to church. So many
times. It seems like that's the cool spot, though. Like, that's where you meet people. Like, that's
where
you get the tea.
Listen, if you
want
to go to church, like, go to church. But don't, like, assume that I'm a Christian or that I'm a churchgoer.
Right.
People come and knock on my door and want to talk Jesus. I'm like, you know.
Like Mormons and stuff?
No, just like.
Like your neighbors?
No, like people drive around in a car and knocking on doors. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to have fun with me. I'll be like, come on in.
I just don't say anything. I just take the pamphlet and they are like, can I, you know, talk to you about Jesus?
Wow.
I'm like, you can. Like, whatever.
I remember when I was living in North Hollywood and not in the nicest area of North Hollywood, some Mormons, like some really cute Mormon girls showed up at my house.
That's how they get you.
Wanting to come in and like,
put stuff in my DVD player and stuff. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Is this the
don't do
not
that.
Not in this complex. Like,
anybody had like a safety little conversation? Because like,
yeah, because there are these like gorgeous, of course, like long natural hair. They had to be 15 or 16. And they're talking to me up and they're really wanting to come inside. And I'm like, don't be doing this. I don't care about your Jesus stuff, but I'm afraid for your safety here. It's not the nicest neighborhood. A bunch of weirdos live. I'm don't weird, but I'm not dangerous weird.
Yeah, no, there's a lot.
Go somewhere else.
There's a lot of that happening here. But luckily, nobody's asked to come inside because I was just like, I mean, listen, when I answer that door, I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, how do I get rid of you the fastest? It's not going to be by opening up this conversation and being
Hail,
like,
Satan. I'm just like, how can I freak out as much as possible?
Well, and the other bitch of this is like, I don't know if it's just me being like, I don't know, scaredy cat. But like, I'm kind of scared of these people. Like, they have guns and shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. And like, yeah, they like their guns. And maybe... I don't know where.
I just like, I don't want to tempt, you know, I don't want to tempt that sitchy. So I'm just like, mm-hmm.
That's true.
Okay, Jesus. Uh-huh.
Love Jesus. Uh-huh.
I'm not going to even go there. Just give me the pamphlet.
God bless you.
Thanks so much. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Oh, man. Well, we are going to be talking about that a little bit in our topic today. So a couple of cool atheists today. Ooh. We love them. All right, so let's dive right
in. Let's go.
Okay. So, a little visualization station.
All right, I'm
ready. Get ready. All right. Y ahora sí, maldita bruja. Ya te chupaste su amigo. While laying in this hospital bed, torn apart, it dawns on me. I'm probably approaching the end. Will I ever leave behind that much? I mean, besides my leg. Or will I just be known as the wife of a genius? But then again, are these constant illnesses and injuries what drove my imagination for all these years? The physical pain from my broken body on top of the pain of pure betrayal is agonizing, yet so inspiring. And I dream and paint and dream again. At least I can still do that. And I do it well. And I dream about true love. Not a man's love, way too brutal, and not a woman's love, too possessive, but the love I feel when I'm in my happy place. Being back home, now that's the best feeling for me. Red, white, and green, the colors of my true love. Red for my beating heart, white to cleanse my sins, and green to return me to Mother Nature. These city gringos pity me for my ailments and, of course, my gender. But I pity them, for they haven't felt the sun on their skin like I have. They think they know everything about art and politics, but they haven't even experienced the comfort of homemade mole or the glory of a revolution. What do they know? At least I have the vivid colors of my home to reflect upon as I continue to rot in this hospital bed like the bouquet of roses next to me. Who even sent these to me? Well, they should know I prefer magnolias. No man or woman can ever take the place of my one true love, Mexico. With her blessings, I'll gladly fade away with my colorful memories. With a heavy heart, Frida and always, Diego.
Ooh, yes. He's talking spicy. Like, very sad, though.
We're getting into Frida, who is spicy and sad.
Heavy heart.
And Diego.
Heavy heart.
Who's also spicy and sad.
Spicy and
so
sad.
So everyone's sad. Everyone's but spicy. Miserable. But so much fun. And this one's going to be hardcore. So there's a
Buckle
lot
up,
of fucking
baby.
Juicy tea. There's some juicy tea in this relationship specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, petty,
petty tea.
Ooh, I love from, well, we love a petty bitch.
We love that. Yeah. Oh my god, these both of these bitches are petty and they just are like one-upping each other on the petty scale. It's so
listen,
much fun.
I'm here for it. This is like why yeah
this is why we're here
it.
Yes, we want to know the here. Dirt and the goss because
yeah, and I don't like I know obviously who both these people are yeah. but a lot for me
it's a lot. Yeah, so it's definitely a lot. They are two of the most prolific artists and activists of all time. And art enthusiasts are fucking obsessed with this massive power couple. So Avi Frida more than Diego, even though Diego's huge. And I mean, that was definitely
from what I know, it's like fuck Diego a little bit.
Yeah, right? Yeah, definitely. Way. Definitely. And definitely Diego was a lot bigger during their lifetime. But they did kind of end off as just a power couple, like at just they are the art power couple for sure. And they both inspired each other and then but also tea like
hella
yeah
tea. Like pinky
tumultuous
up?
Yeah, pinky up, keep it up for this one. And you might think you would have to put your pinky down, but don't, because it'll keep going. They just love torturing each other. So yes, so if you don't know, Frida Kahlo is a mestiza painter known for her beautifully haunting and explorative self-portraits. Mestiza literally means mixed person, and we'll get into that a little bit of what her actual cultural background is, because she does focus on her cultural identity, her gender,
yes,
her class, her suffering, and communism. Yeah.
Hey, here we go.
Yeah, let's throw that in there. So yeah, let's so go. Let's get some more drama. Why not? This girl is Mexico, and her work is super recognizable throughout the world. Kickstarted an obsession with Mexican folk art. Also yes. a huge feminist and LGBTQ plus icon. She's huge. I see her face in Home Goods all the time. Like
she's
I mean,
in Coco.
She's in Coco. She's on mugs.
She's on mugs.
She's on purses.
Yeah.
She is fucking everywhere. Any little girl, of course, that is like has like a little inkling of liking art probably has some sort of Frida merch.
Good.
Maybe not her actual paintings, though, because they are super gory. Yeah. And kind of sad. We will get into what her actual work looks like. If you're a young girl and you love female artists, you're going to know about Frida. And then also Diego, too. So I had to do them both because they both have such an influence on each other. And
well, they're like coexisting, right? They're like 100%. They're just like arting at the same time and like
exactly, exactly. So they're arting at the same time, 100%. They're getting inspired by each other, but then they're also getting inspired by each other fucking with their lives.
I mean, we love a tortured artist.
Super codependent, definitely trauma bond situation here. So
listen, I get it. I have some songs written about me that were not very nice. So I understand.
Ooh, maybe we need to plug one of those in this one.
No.
Fun. Diego. So if you don't know who Diego Rivera is, he's a Mexican muralist and painter known for his politically subversive subject matter. He is non-apologetic, absolute fucking rebel, and the leader of the Mexican muralist movement, and kind of a dick when it comes to the ladies. So yeah, we'll get into
total
that.
Fucking asshole, right?
Asshole. But Frida is
kind of a dick too.
An asshole too. Yeah, 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 yeah. So they're both assholes a little bit to each
other. Okay, but he started it, right?
He started it. Totally. He started it. And we'll get into that. So let's get some context. Of who are these people?
Who are they? Why do we care? What are you doing?
Why do we care?
What are you doing? And how do you feel about how you're doing?
How do you feel? Give me a what, when, where, how much.
ASL.
So let's get into it for Frida. Duh, ladies first. So Magdalena Carmen Frida Kahlo y Calderon.
Wow. So, that's hot.
Yeah. Oh, there's another Spanish name coming up that is so good. Sexy name. Yeah. So very sexy. Born July 6, 1907. She was a Cancer, so very emotional.
Moon
Born
baby.
To a German father and a Mestiza mother, and had three sisters. Steaming hot tea about one of the sisters later. Her mom, so the Mestiza thing, her mom was of Spanish and indigenous descent.
Okay.
So Frida is definitely an interesting mix of different cultures, but she greatly identified with her indigenous side.
Got it.
Which you'll see a lot in her paintings. Feathers, florals, animals,
birds,
like nature, bird, yeah,
flowers,
exactly. You'll plants. See the really traditional clothing that she would wear. So definitely like veering into folk art. And of course, she loved being from Mexico. Oh my gosh, she loved Mexico. So dad was Guillermo, daddy was Guillermo Kahlo.
A German Guillermo.
His name was formerly Wilhelm. So.
Oh.
He was German and he renamed himself. He was actually a very well-established photographer who focused on and documented architecture in Mexico and in other countries too. So he's actually, really well-known in the photography world. And a lot of his work really kind of helped us see what the world was at the time. He documented all of this like building of architecture.
Right.
Super cool photos. So very artsy.
And so what year? Is this
like, is time? Early 1900s.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's born 1907. So
got it.
So our time is really like 20s and 30s when she starts really getting going. And Frida liked her dad, so she was definitely a daddy's girl. So we like that. Mommy Matilde Calderon was a devout Catholic who led a strict religious household.
No.
And was said, okay, here's some weird tea on her. Sad weird tea. She was said to only have married her dad, Frida's dad, because he reminded Frida's dad.
I was like, that is weird.
Guillermo. because he reminded her of this other German dude that she dated who ended up unaliving himself while in her presence. So,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, we definitely have some trauma there for sure. And mom, Frida did love her mom. Now, their relationship was a little tumultuous because Frida's mom was just very cold. She wasn't very loving like her dad was. Her dad was very supportive.
Sure.
And her mom was a little more distant.
Okay.
And Frida always kind of thought, like, y'all don't love each other.
Aww.
So we'll see, how that kind of folds out in her own life. A lot of times we do kind of repeat stuff from our parents, unfortunately.
Yeah. You got to dive into your childhood trauma.
Totally. Yeah. And,
heal
there is, there is definitely some trauma there. But there are some really lovely letters from Frida to mom and mom to Frida.
Oh,
so they definitely
nice.
Loved each other. But it was just cold. She was just a little cold.
I mean, you can love and be resentful.
And,
like, two things can be
have
true.
Have a weird personality, you know?
Yeah.
She loved her in a different way.
We're multifaceted. Beings.
Yeah, no, totally.
Right? Is there like a yearning for the mom love?
I don't know if there, but maybe. Definitely more of a daddy's girl though.
Got it.
So Frida grew up in the now famous La Casa Azul, so the blue
house.
Yeah, in Coacan, Mexico City. So want to go there. So
yeah,
go to our Patreon.
Vamanos.
And because I'm obsessed with like anything folky, and then of course I love like any kind of Mayan anything of like let's get into the sacrifice.
Yeah,
of course, I love sacrifice.
I just like seeing the art and the stuff that people made that I could never make.
There's
like
so much art everywhere in that city, so definitely would be a good visit. So if you know a little bit about Frida or seen her paintings, you can assume that there's something medical going on here. So the medical problems started early with a nasty polio infection. So what the fuck is polio? It's an infectious disease and it's weird. Many cases go unnoticed and some cases can be just like a mild fever, but some can get more hardcore symptoms like muscle stiffness, paresthesia, where your like skin hurts, paralysis, and often death.
so vaccines are cool. Vaccines
Let's leave it there. Great. Let's leave it there. My,
My grandpa had polio. He was in an iron lung. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Grandpa.
He overcame it. But
amazing. Wow.
And he vaccinated after that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, good. But yeah, a lot of people can survive it, and some people just don't even get anything symptoms wise and then some people have like some major weird symptoms. So it's a tricky disease. And of course Frida can't get a break. She got lifelong symptoms from this polio situation, and all her life she had to deal with her right leg being deformed and shorter than the other, because there was some sort of like muscle growth problem that happened when she was growing. So she's young, so she always had to either wear a prosthetic leg or special shoes to get around. So movement was not great when her early life. So she's like six-ish. And of course, kids are shits and would bully her about this. So
kids are fucking mean.
Yeah. So here starts like the mental turmoil for sure from her bullying. But despite her leg being weird, she was a total tomboy. And once she became strong enough, she would play sports, which was weird for a girl at the time. So she's already a fucking feminist icon, even out the gate. So she was getting better, and she also loved the arts. So her dad definitely like influenced her artsy side, but she actually really just wanted to be a doctor. I think there was something to do with like she wanted to figure out nature and like figure out the human body. So she was really, really smart, like super smart. And she began taking classes after high school because that was kind of her path. She was like, I'm gonna be a doctor, I'm gonna save people, and I'm gonna figure out the human body
and myself. I'm gonna heal myself, maybe.
But she was getting better at the time, even though she did have this weird leg situation that just never really healed. So this is where it gets weird. So she's chilling, going to class on the trolley, and the trolley gets hit by a fucking bus.
No! Yeah, fuck! I know.
And this is kind of where a lot of her stuff begins. So, So her injuries from this horrible accident are fucking horrific. So skip ahead a little bit if you don't want to hear about some of this stuff, because it's bad.
Listen.
So yes, so skip
ahead. I wish I could skip ahead, but I'm going to
You seriously wish you
could skip really
ahead.
I'm really not brave, but... I mean, but I'll try to we wouldn't have short. A pod.
I'll try to keep it short, and you will feel this in your body. So she did break almost every bone in her body, including her spine, and her pelvis and vagina were impaled by a steel rod.
What the fuck?
I know. I'm
How
serious.
How does that even, like...
It was a horrific, horrific accident. And yeah, she was impaled. And this is going to sound fucked, but we probably wouldn't have her work if this event didn't happen.
Well,
so,
right. Okay.
Yeah, suffering. Yeah.
Way to spin a weird fucking positive light on this thing.
I guess there's like a silver lining. I don't know if I can even call it that. But yeah, so she was having trouble. So she goes back to the hospital. She's in a full body cast.
Well, I would hope she went back to the hospital.
She went to the hospital. Yeah.
Has a pole in it.
Yeah. So threw she went back to like, the hospital. And she's in a full body cast. She's not sure if she'll survive, of course. I mean, this is the fucking 1910s, 1920s situation.
Yeah.
So she found solace in painting because suffering equals great ass art.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so she's painting.
We've had a few, like,
we know
every single person that we've done so far has been massively injured or suffering from an ailment.
Totally. So there's a theme with
artists.
With artists, for sure. Especially the greatest artists of all time are all in pain.
Yeah.
So she survived this horrible accident, but as you can imagine, it caused her lifelong pain and medical problems, spinal problems, all kinds of bone issues, muscle issues. Damn. I mean, it's the early 1900s, so it is pretty miraculous that she survived. revived at all.
No, they don't even have any like Advil.
Yeah, like, yeah, and we'll get into painkillers soon too. So, she is quoted: "It was a strange crash, not violent, but dull and low, and it injured everyone, me much more seriously." So, she was probably the serious case on that bus or that trolley. So, of course, many lonely months in the hospital completely fucking changed her views on life dramatically, and self-expression became a part of her rebirth. So this is right. her renaissance in this That's hospital my Ren. Bed.
My yeah, baby.
Yeah. So her parents, of course, were there for her when she was recovering. They gave her this little lap easel and a mirror, so she could see what was that she was doing, and she became completely immersed in painting. So she's literally like stiff as a board, having to lay down with a full body cast, and she still was like, let me fucking paint. Give me something to paint. So she was able to paint, maybe because it was like the only thing she could control, maybe like because it's
I don't know.
Everything else is out of her control at this point. So she did set aside her dream of being a doctor and focused all of her attention on painting.
Right.
Specifically painting herself. So
I mean, can you imagine? Her family must have been like, okay, so you don't want to be a doctor anymore. You just want to paint yourself.
But it was pretty weird too to be a female doctor at this point too. So
okay,
so she's pretty weird.
She's already set herself apart. They're not expecting
exactly.
They're like, oh yeah, you're gonna be a doctor. That's cute.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and this is definitely a theme in her life of being undermined all the time. And then of course now we know her as absolute fucking rock star genius artist. So why self portraits? She was quoted, "I paint myself because I am so often alone and because I am the subject I know best." So,
and also, okay.
Damn. So check out her first self-portrait, self-portrait in a velvet dress. Some tea on this one. So this was actually a gift for her then lover, Alejandro.
Alejandro.
Who loved her but ultimately thought that she was way too liberal for him. Like, okay.
Damn, she looks hot.
She's gorgeous. So Frida did.
Hot mama. She's got the long neck.
She's absolutely gorgeous. And Frida taught herself to paint and was inspired by the old masters and the Mexican portrait painters. And this portrait was, of course, the first arrival of her iconic unibrow.
We love a unibrow queen.
So everyone asked her about, so every fucking interview, they would ask her about.
Why don't you do your eyebrow?
Why don't you pluck your
What's
eyebrow?
What's with your monobrow? What's with your one eyebrow?
She's always asked about her unibrow, and she is quoted, so good cunty energy. "I won't curb my self-expression to meet your expectations of how a woman should look."
Yes, bitch. Queen. Say
just
it
put
again.
A bitch at the end of that. Fucking cunt. So we love that. So she's healed. So after she's in the hospital for a while, she's healed, but she's sort of still like suffering from horrible pain. Mm-hmm. Like she's got all the spine shit. These bones haven't really healed the same.
That kind of injury doesn't fucking.
It's never going to go
I mean,
away.
I broke my ankle and it still hurts. It's like today, doctors. Dude. So
yeah. So you can imagine.
Back then, they're like, "I hope it just lay there in a podcast."
So she's still suffering from pain. Yeah. She had these horrible headaches all the time. Poor girl. And her body just fucking hurts. She still has this weird short leg.
Hobbling so around.
She's hobbling around. Yeah.
Listen, but we love still, a like, mismatched leg queen. We're fine with it.
She's still like absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
So
hottie.
This does help her with the men and women folks. So we'll get into that. Okay. So she's really leaning into being an artist. She's like, I'm all in. I'm doing this. I'm fucking doing this.
Let's go.
And she's also leaning into her political beliefs, too, since in this time period, so we're talking 1910s, 1920s, the Mexican Revolution is happening. So craziness. The Mexico drafted its current constitution supporting a strong central government.
Okay.
So that's cool. But this was a very bloody war, leaving 2 million fucking people dead.
No, that's so crazy. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. You might recognize the name Pancho Villa.
Sure.
Who's a fucking rock star fighting for social and economic justice for the Mexican people. So after this, Mexico is in her like discovery phase after the war, and it's figuring itself out. Okay. It's like, okay, now we gotta like figure out how to deal with these people. Yeah, let's rebrand. Sure. We are over it. We're over it.
What do we want?
She's in her discovery phase, and Frida thought the rebels were super cool, obviously. So she ended up joining the Mexican Communist Party in 1927.
Dope.
And this is where she met this fucking guy, Diego Rivera. Let the games begin. So this relationship, guys, just wow. So y'all think you have a tumultuous relationship. You don't. Well, you maybe do. But it's, no, this one's really bad.
So then you can identify with what's about to happen.
Yeah, maybe we can learn something.
Maybe we can learn something from the ending. I don't know how it ends. But what not to do or what to do. Either way.
What not to do. Okay. Yeah. So if you're in this type of relationship, maybe seek some help.
Get out.
Yeah, so Frida was 20 and Diego was 40 when they met.
No.
And Frida greatly admired his work. So he was already pretty big. And his penis. So he was already pretty big at the time. So he was kind of like getting his flow. He's 40, so he's established at this time.
I'm sorry, gross.
Yeah, and Diego was also currently married to his second wife, so that's fun. They fell hard for each other, as you do, and Diego divorced his wife to marry Frida.
Okay.
Frida's mom didn't like this and is famously quoted.
What mom would? But okay, yeah, what'd she say?
I know, seriously. Any mom wouldn't like this, and so she has a fun quote. This is like a wedding between a dove and an elephant.
Oh, shit. So
Diego is like 300 pounds. So yeah,
a big dude, right?
Big dude. Frida is a little tiny thing. So weird looking couple for sure. Definitely right. Weird looking couple, which is fine.
Listen, we're all about the big bodies.
And she kind of like. He gives daddy vibes for sure. Obviously, when they're together,
it's just the age difference that bothers me.
The age difference is definitely very like she's young and beautiful, and he's like,
Your outside appearance, whatever, but like. 40?
He was super charismatic. 40
going for a 20-year-old is gross. Okay.
Gross. Totally gross.
You're 20. Totally gross. You don't know what's going on.
Groomy. Yeah.
You're 40. Totally gross. You know what's going on. And you know that 20 is too young for
And he's
you.
On his second fucking wife, too. So this
is
gross.
Number three, right? That's just
this
gross.
Is number three. So who the fuck is Diego Rivera? So let's get into some context about him before we get down and dirty. So you literally have to give me a solid minute for this name.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Take your time and got this.
I have a fucking paragraph. So Diego Maria de la Concepción Juan Nepomuceno Estanislao de la Rivera y Barrientos, Acosta, y Rodriguez.
Ooh.
I know. Okay, that's pretty good. That's
pretty good.
So we can call him Diego.
Okay.
So,
Diego. Not to be confused with my son, Eggie Boy.
Yeah, yeah. The eggs is way cooler than this guy. Oh, my God.
Dude.
So, I mean, this guy is cool in some ways for sure. So yeah. Even though his womanizing is gross.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did pretty much establish the mural movement in Mexico. I mean, many art enthusiasts think of Mexican arts. They think murals, right?
Yeah.
So for those who don't know what a mural is, it's like a big ass painting on a wall
big
or a ceiling.
Big old painting.
And these are Mexican rebels, baby. So go big or go home. So yeah, yeah. Definitely check out the Detroit Industry, a series of frescoes. So a fresco is like a watercolor done on wet plaster. It's super hard because the plaster is like drying and it doesn't work if it's dry. And it's just annoying. It's so annoying.
What's it called again?
Frescoes, Detroit Industry. So these frescoes depict the Ford Motor Company and its workers in the factory. And it really humanizes the factory workers driving the Industrial Revolution at the time. And you can also see that he's a hardcore communist and atheist. Wow. Okay, so we like him sometimes. He's cool sometimes. So here's a quote from him. "I am an atheist and I consider religions to be a form of collective neurosis." So yeah, me too.
Shots fired.
Yeah, especially in Mexico. Very
I think
Catholic.
I'm more like agnosty vibes. Like I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't want to commit to being an atheist,
I know that I don't know. I haven't had a spiritual awakening yet. So I'm still waiting waiting for God to show up, basically. So
dude, I still think my grandma comes back as butterflies though. So like I don't know.
A lot of dimes. That's what they say, is like if you see dimes on the ground, it means like somebody's trying to communicate. Some people are probably like, so you don't believe in God, but you believe in ghosts.
Yeah, but you believe in grandma being a butterfly.
Yes.
I just like walk around to my own personal religion and it's like my whole vibe is like, just be a good person. Like, don't hurt somebody.
I literally have a fucking crystal in my bra right now. It keeps me grounded.
Yeah.
But yeah, God, no. Anyway, we can get into that.
Later. Okay, later. Back to Diego.
So Diego, he's into simple shapes, averaged out tones, and politically driven subject matter, like the working class and people fucking revolting.
Yeah.
He was inspired by Picasso, Braque, and Cézanne, as well as the old masters of the Renaissance. So
yeah, there's definitely some like Cubism vibes in
Cubism vibes hard, which was really big at the time too. So Picasso and Braque are doing their thing.
They're like coexisting side by side.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So there, everybody's just like flowing. And of course, Picasso says that Cézanne is the father of us all. So it's really about Cézanne. Yeah. So Cézanne was really the start of modern art altogether. So of course, yeah, if you don't know Cézanne, it's different perspectives on the same plane. You'll see some of his work and kind of be like, I feel like those fruits should be falling off the table. So he did, like, say he wants to do a still life.
That's right.
But then he wants to see the inside of the bowl too. So he'll paint the still life like regular, where you're looking at it straight on, but then paint the bowl like you're looking into it. So he had something. He was definitely onto something there.
Yeah.
He's
so, like, you know what? I'm just going to do whatever I want.
He was onto something for sure. So Picasso and Braque were super inspired by Cézanne. And then, of course, Diego was very inspired by Picasso and Braque. So it's just a conversation.
Just big old clusterfuck.
Big old cluster. And you can see Diego definitely has like a similar color palette too, like very muted colors, averaged out tones. So he's also being inspired by the old masters like Caravaggio. Rembrandt and stuff like that. He's getting into these averaged out tones, which is like the lights and darks of things. If you average out your tones, then it makes for a way more dramatic looking image. So a lot of just like lights and darks right up next to each other. And he was really inspired
by this. High contrast.
And he's really inspired by this, and this kind of blocky way that Cubism was going around too, of simplifying your shapes and forms. So super cool. His work is amazing and really like aggressive too.
Yeah.
So definitely.
There's always lots of muscles.
Muscle. Man.
men working,
men
fighting, like all that good stuff. So we love that. So there, of course, a lot of men love Diego.
Lots of dudes, dicks. Hella dicks everywhere.
So it was very much like, let me show these workers that are driving the country right now. So he did become very popular and recognizable early in his career too. So weird side note. So this was during art school. So he claimed, keyword claimed, to have engaged in cannibalism during art school. I know. I was like, wait.
Dude, that's taking like it a little too far. Weird turn. You're an artist and you're different or whatever, but like, we don't eat people.
Yeah, so he's a cannibal. Supposedly he's a cannibal. So him and his friends apparently bought cadavers and ate them. So, so if you're in school, you might have access to cadavers. I don't know how he's doing this, okay? And we don't know if this is true. So there's no physical evidence of this. And many historians believe that it's bullshit. But he is.
Because I feel like cadavers are, like, embalmed and preserved and, like, hella chemicals, right?
Know. Yeah.
Like, you're not just getting, like, a freshy dead body.
Yeah, I wish we had, like, a nurse or something to help us out with this. Or some sort of medical student.
At least I would think. Because, you know, when I dissected a frog in
I remember that. I hated that.
That thing smelled like some chemicals.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't just like fresh dead frog. It was like stinky chemical-y dead frog.
Exactly. So I don't know how he's getting this stuff, but he is quoted. Best of all, I relished women's brains and vinaigrettes. Like,
dude, fuck you. okay.
So this is in his memoir, but I don't know. I think he just wanted to be edgy. And he knew that people, including myself, love some fucked up like Mayan ritualistic sacrifice shit. So I think he was leaning into that of like, ooh, yes, I'm the mysterious Mexican painter. Like that I eat people because it's part of my culture. And you're like, No, dude. It's part of your culture in ancient fucking times, but like not right now.
Now there's like not eating people. Now there's like a grocery store. Like it's not like
people. So we don't know about that. But he was very much like into wanting people to believe that.
Sure.
So Diego was pretty established a muralist at the time that he met Frida, and she was fangirling for him, dude. So they're married and continuously like paint each other throughout their relationship. So check out Frida's painting, Frida and Diego Rivera. This was their wedding portrait, and you can see herself portrayed as a submissive, gentle wife, and Diego as the genius artist holding brushes and a palette. So we can see kind of like where she saw herself at the time fitting into the relationship. Like she was kind of the submissive one, or she wanted to try to be that wife, even though like really she's not like that. She is not a wife. No. Like she's a fucking rock star. So, but at the time she was like, I'm going to really try to lean into this wife thing. And because she was so obsessed with Diego.
Yeah, you do a lot of stupid stuff.
You change.
For, like, love.
You totally change for a guy, for sure. So that's something to learn from. So don't get dickmatized. It's a thing that happens. And there's also pussyatized, too. So genitalatized. That's super real. Yeah.
Listen, so if you're like, I think I'm going to do this because he wants me to do this, then like, nah.
Think again.
Nah.
Yeah.
Compromise is one thing, but like sacrificing who you are, that's a whole
thing. It's just not
going to
work though. Like eventually.
Yeah, if you're like, oh, I can do this.
I can be submissive, sure.
I can pretend
even
to be the
doting
wife.
Way.
Yeah. Totally. So eventually that's going to fucking fall apart, which we do see here. So Diego was actually commissioned all over the U.S. So Frida and him would travel to San Francisco, Detroit, and New York. So all these big metropolitan cities.
Yeah, they met Peggy Guggenheim.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So mm-hmm. so they're meeting people. I mean, everybody wants to meet Diego. And yeah. they do kind of like that Frida's painting too. There was like this article in, I think it was the New York Times or something like that, where it's like, oh, cute. Look at Diego Rivera's wife's a painter. Aww. Totally. I'm like, dude. Fuck you. Frida's going to be so much fucking cooler than you, man. So he's commissioned, they're traveling. And Frida did like some things about the United States. Like, for instance, she really liked learning about new people. She loved specifically Chinatown in San Francisco. I do too. It's super cool.
I love Chinatown.
It's so cool. And she just enjoyed, and she kind of felt a connection as like kind of being an outsider. She felt a connection with the Chinese people too, of like, you guys are fucking getting your culture fucking in here and like and messing shit up and like having fun and having like pride in where you come from is like right. a big thing for her. So
it's like she loves celebrating the underdog.
Totally. So she loves when other people group. Do that. Yeah. So yeah. she's loving when that is one thing she loves about the United States is like
sure.
people from other cultures are being here and able
can
to
come in and fuck shit up.
Yeah. To come in and fuck shit up. Totally. And yeah. like to spread their beautiful cultures and stuff. And that's why America's supposed to be fucking cool, but like we're all fucked up still. But she did really miss Mexico and thought the specific art people that she was meeting are super like academic, and she couldn't stand the fucking pompous arrogance of the art world specifically. Bye. Of like, ew, bye.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah,
totally why we're doing this, because
yeah, same, that's like part of why we're doing this, right? It's like fuck
some
that
shitty art history academic people can be so fucking annoying. Like someone always tries to one-up you or something, you're like, can we just have a conversation about like what I know and what you know and learn something rather than like
art gets this reputation of being on a pedestal and there's no reason.
It should actually be for everybody.
It's just art. It's just things you look at. You're nothing special for understanding it or knowing about
it. Yeah. And art, she just didn't like this whole like blah, 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 blah. I'm a man and I know more and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, ugh.
Listen, Frida. Same
girl. So she's annoyed and like wants to go back to Mexico because it's like, I need real people. Like,
yeah.
So they go back and forth from Mexico and the United States and meet lots of people, which brings me to the affairs. So this is why you sick bitches are here. This is the tea. It's so fucking stressful, dude. So
pinky up.
So again, Diego was married to a second wife when he met Frida, and he also had another side piece and some kids here and there. So we're thinking like about two kids supposedly, but yeah, he's got mistresses and everything too. He's got hoes on top of like being married at the time too. They were married, apparently Diego started cheating on Frida because she had, quote, too many miscarriages.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
So I guess this pisses him off. And by the way, he already had kids anyway. So not an excuse to like cheat on your wife because she's having miscarriages.
And also, like, did he know about the like impaled pelvis vagina situation?
Yeah. So he knows about her ailments and everything.
So it's like,
I mean, she's painting about
it. Isn't about you, Diego.
Right? It's like, okay. And he already has fucking kids anyway. So he's a fucking cunt.
So it's like you spread your seed already.
Exactly. Like, relax. And Frida, don't get me wrong. Like, Frida really wants to have a fucking kid. But she can't. Like, she's got too much shit going on. She got fucking impaled in her vagina. Bitch.
That'll do it, dude.
You might not be able to have kids. So Of course, this fucking Frida. Pissed off Frida. And she's like, I can do it too. So I love the toxicity. So they're cheating on each other. So Diego with women and Frida with men and women. Oh, ooh, she's bisexual. So they're both very sex positive, and it was kind of in like a weird unspoken agreement type of thing, but there were some affairs that were really uncool. So
right.
They're very much aware that they're cheating on each other.
Okay.
And they're not like a super positive communication based polyamorous couple like we Got have it. Today.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, it's like 19 fucking 20.
They're fighting. Right? So they're fucking fighting, but they're also like have like an understanding of, okay, this is how it's gonna be, I guess.
It's kind of the time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, yeah, we have mistresses or whatever.
Okay, we have problems, yeah, but we love each other.
But we're also fucking miserable. So Diego was totally fine with Frida's lady partners, of but not cool with her male friends. So this shit made Diego fucking furious because betraying your partner hurts. Yeah, it fucking hurts.
I mean, honestly, like I get it, dude. I wouldn't be down. Nah.
Totally. So this love-hate relationship, there's a famous Frida quote. There have been two great accidents in my life, the terrible crash that left me broken and the time I met Diego Rivera. Okay. But Frida is a fucking petty bitch too. So just like us. So she has an affair and kind of runs off with this famous art dealer that Diego actually introduces her to.
Damn, that is petty. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it gets worse of you. It gets so much worse. So Heinz Berggren. And they spent a month together in New York. And then she like got over that and then ran back to Diego. Oh. So she actually had affairs with a lot of influential artists, actors, poets, and political activists.
Wow.
So here's a fun list. So Andre Benton and Isamu Nagouchi. So they're famous poets at the time. So really big at the time.
Got it.
Georgia O'Keeffe. So yes. So Georgia O'Keeffe. We love her. We probably have to do a pod on her at some point.
Vagina.
So if you don't know Georgia O'Keeffe, she's famous for paintings of flowers. Or is it?
That look like vaginas.
Or it's probably genitals.
Flowers.
It's genitals. There's some more. Paulette Goddard, who was like an actor. Dolores Del Rio and Josephine Baker. So she's super fun.
I bet you her and Peggy Guggenheim are Eskimo sisters.
Oh, yeah. So she's fucking. And she also had an affair with some woman that Diego previously had a fling with. And I'm totally fine with that.
Damn.
Yes. So
okay.
We're not done. So no. We're not done with the affair.
I'm not done listening.
We're not done with the affairs. So Diego really wanted to fuck shit up. So he did nothing more than sleep with Frida's fucking sister, Christina.
No.
Christina.
Why'd you do it, Christina?
So
Xtina.
So a couple of good paintings.
That's fucked up.
Memory. There's a painting, Memory the Heart, where she's got arrows through her heart. And this one's really fucked up. A Few Small Nips, where Diego brutally murders Frida. So the feeling is really relatable when you look at these paintings. So not the sister fucking part, but the betrayal part. So hopefully it's not relatable in the sister fucking part, because that's hard. But you can see her work is getting fucking gory. It's very literal. Like, you broke my heart fucking literally. It's out of my body and it's bleeding. So on top of this relationship drama, there's still medical issues too. So you can see how her physical pain and her heartbreak relate to each other in the painting. So So she's got emotional trauma and physical trauma that she's dealing with. Her paintings are real sad and explorative and lots of suffering and body parts like coming out of her own body. She's really like exploring a lot of like literal heartbreak on top of being in like so much pain. So, okay, so more. So there's more affairs. Okay. So after Diego's affair with Christina, Frida's fucking pissed.
Well, yeah.
And wants to fucking destroy him. And she does. Ah! By fucking Diego's idol, Leon Trotsky.
Oh my God.
So Trotsky is a Russian revolutionary seeking asylum in Mexico.
And she's like, and come here, baby. I'll give you asylum.
Dude, exactly. So Diego had a huge boner for him. Ooh. And let him stay in Casa Azul where they lived. Where That's he was the bad move. Yeah. So after this, they gave up. Frida and Diego finally got fucking divorced.
Oh, good.
So, yes, what a relief. You know, just that couple where you're like, dude, you're miserable.
Dude, get a divorce. Why get are a divorce. You together?
Move on. And guess what? 1 year later, they got fucking remarried.
No.
They got fucking remarried. How do you say it?
Will they, won't they? Will they, won't they? Why are you doing this?
Stop it, Ron. You're traumatizing me.
Ron. So, Ron.
Ron.
Ron. It's Jersey Iconic. Shore.
It is. Seriously, we could actually relate this to Sammy and Ronnie for sure. So, you're traumatizing me. So this time they did have kind of an agreement. They wanted to use their power couple status benefit. So at this point, they were definitely like, Frida's work was getting noticed. Diego's work was continuously being commissioned. And they had definitely a power couple status. Got and it. They wanted to keep those benefits.
Sure.
Which is understandable. So they're making like a power couple move
too.
Totally. So their agreement was actually they weren't going to be intimate with each other.
Hmm.
Just continue with their side pieces and be like a partnership kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even though they still fucking fought all the time. That so they're still miserable.
They're not having sex.
They're continuously seeing each other in other affairs. And it wasn't like let's just get married God, and make it more of a business.
That sounds like the worst
dude
fucking how stressful. Situation.
They're so codependent. They're so fucking codependent. They
just like
honestly.
Can't let each other go.
They can't. They cannot. So I don't know, this misery in her relationship along with her continuous physical pain must have driven her to paint all the time. And they both just made a shit ton of work. So she's painting all the fucking time. Yeah, and she was always
fucking. Get it out, get it out. So
what is there to do? So she was always, again, in and out of the hospital. She's having these weird surgeries. And these doctors are keeping telling her like there's some kind of hope. Like, hey, we got a new surgery now. Maybe this will fix it. And she's like, sure, I'll fucking try
anything.
So she's always in and out of the hospital while still suffering from symptoms of her horrible accident.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also abusing prescription drugs and alcohol.
Oh,
so
shit.
I mean, I would too. I'm in fucking pain all the time. Might as well get have fun.
Listen, yeah.
Totally. So she's in her 40s, and in 1953, her leg actually had to be amputated. I know, because of gangrene from a botched surgery.
Fuck.
So there was this surgery that they tried to do on her spine, and I think it ended up causing nerve damage. So blood wasn't flowing to one of her legs.
Got it.
And it ended up just kind of falling apart. Ugh. And she had to get it removed. But she always kept painting. So I think like even like from the beginning when she was painting in the hospital the first time, I think mm-hmm. it is like, all right, back to the hospital. Let's get my studio up and going in this hospital.
Right.
So she's always painting.
Painter's vacation.
Totally. Yeah. So she's still painting. And her last painting, Viva la Vida, watermelons. So that means long live life. And so even though she's deteriorating, she's making a tribute to life. Or was she like being facetious? I don't know. It's hard to say. They're just painting. It's a painting of watermelons, and then inscripted on one of the watermelons, it says long live life. And I don't know. Some people think that it's like, do you really think that? Fuck. Like, I mean, damn. Like, from having such a painful life, that's what you're going to paint as your last painting? Frida's last journal entry, I hope the exit is joyful and I hope to never come back. Oh, and she didn't. Fuck. 6 months later, she died from what some say is a pulmonary embolism set on by pneumonia. But some also speculate that she overdosed on painkillers. So we're not totally sure what happened. So to honor Frida, Diego donated La Casa Azul and its contents and turned it into a museum. And the museum is staged to look exactly like it looked in the 50s. And it's the most popular museum in Mexico City. Like, it sounds super cool.
Well, I want to really go. Cool.
Totally want to go to see that. And Diego did make another tribute to her. So I guess he always loved her, or a trauma bond. I don't know. He did also, for his last painting, make a painting of watermelons. So he died 2 years after Frida, and he didn't die of heartbreak or anything. He married his fucking art agent right after Frida died.
Oh, God.
But he always like loved her. Of course, he honored her and all that stuff. But I think it's also a little bit to do with like, she's a famous artist now at this stage. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's some, like, power moves there for sure. And it's like, you know, crabs it's in a bucket. Like, they keep trying to, like,
they're
pull
just
each other up.
Each other all the time. It's so
and they keep falling back down.
Annoying.
Yeah.
So that's Frida and Diego, two of the most iconic artists of all time and two of the most toxic fucking married people of all time.
Yeah, dude.
So,
I mean,
so that's their work. And they do have fucking amazing work. You can definitely go to Mexico City to check out Frida's artwork. But of course, Frida's work is fucking everywhere. Fucking everywhere.
Diego,
and
too.
Diego, too, and even in the 80s, specifically the 80s, there was, like, this huge, like, obsession with Mexican folk art and people just obsessing over Frida, and they still do. Like, people still obsess over her and her life.
Yeah.
And if I were to compare them to a super topical power couple today, besides Ron and Sam.
I was going
to
say Ron and Sam would be perfect.
Besides, I'm feeling that now. I didn't even think of Ron and Sam. We're static.
Ron. Sam.
But I did think of another topical power couple today. Will and Jada Smith.
Fuck. Dude.
I mean, Jada is like, Jada's nowhere near the icon of Frida, but the constant like cheating and kind of cheating that's supposed to specifically hurt the other person.
It's really targeted cheating, and it's very public, and it's really fucking mean.
She fucked her son's friend.
I did not know that.
She fucked her son's friend. The entanglement was with her kid.
That's
kids.
The entanglement?
Friend. Wait. This young kid. This young dude. I mean, super hot, dude. But, dude. Like, not cool. Groomy and weird. Yeah, super
That's
groomy
horrible.
And weird. Horrible. Can you imagine if your mom fucked
It's terrible.
That?
Dude, that's disgusting. No.
And then, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Will is also having affairs. They basically have been, like, not really together, but power couple status for, like, years. And in her book, she says something like, yeah, we've been separated for 7 years, but still want to keep the power couple. I'm just like, Will? Like,
Nobody
Jada's not,
really like, thinks of Jada. No. Like, what is she offering here?
Yeah, I don't know what the real stuff is, but, like, it seems just not normal and
It's really
sad.
Hard to tell with that one.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like, I can't really watch a Will Smith movie without thinking about that. Thinking about his, like, shitty wife. But don't get me wrong. I think he's shitty, too. But get a divorce.
Probably.
Then. Nobody needs you to do this. Go be happy with someone else. Not your kid's friend, but, like, someone else. Appropriate.
Dude, the sister. That's not.
The fucking sis, Christina.
What did Christina have to say for herself?
I guess they ended up, like, being fine. Ugh. it was just like an annoying thing because like Frida knows Diego, like she knows how fucking shady he is, and she's just like, whatever, Christina.
I don't know. I don't have a sister, but
I mean, I would just be like, I have sisters, and like, I wouldn't even know how to comprehend that. I would just be like, ghost. I don't know. Bye.
Bye.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of sisters of sisters like listening to this would be like, I would fucking beat her ass. Like, I'm not very violent. I don't know what to do in those situations, but like, I don't know if I could beat my sister's ass. No. I would just be like, okay, never speak to me again. I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm really good at ghosting people.
I mean, I'm an Aquarius.
But apparently he was just like super charismatic, and this the guy. He's ugly too.
I mean, he must have been, dude, because like honestly, like he just, you know, we love a big queen, we love an ugly queen. Like, live your truth. You're hot.
And you can get bitches for sure, being fat and ugly.
When you're doing shit like that, it's easy to play on your shortcomings. And my guy,
totally
not he's not a good looking dude.
Of why?
I just like, but yeah,
you're gonna fuck your sister's husband, and he's not even hot.
He had to have had like a complex, like something happened, like.
Yeah. Totally. And well, he was just of that way, and I think that time too.
Yeah,
is kind of just like, yeah, women are, you know. Like, you know, they'll be mad and then they'll calm down once they, you know,
yeah.
Feed them some chocolate. They'll calm down.
Like, I mean,
it's kind of true.
Just give me space. Feed me
chocolate. I will calm down.
Some wine and some chocolate. Leave me the fuck alone. And let me sleep.
Yeah,
take a shower.
I might calm down. Yeah. I mean, not after fucking my sister.
No, you're just gone. You're just bye. Yeah, I would you're just like, bye. Oh, the kids are mine. Get the later.
Fuck away. Yeah, deuces. Go away.
So, good one.
Yes.
Good job. Yeah, I've always like, yeah.
If TMZ was around during Frida and Diego's relationship, it would be just like a frenzy, an absolute fucking frenzy.
Frida,
so they're fun, but we love Frida and Diego's work, and we're so happy that they had this weird fucking tumultuous relationship.
Thank you guys for doing what you did. We appreciate it. Sorry totally. About your love life.
Sorry, yeah, about how miserable you guys both were this whole time.
Definitely could have benefited from some therapy.
Therapy, an actual stayed divorce, maybe.
Yeah, you guys, I've heard so many people say this. I don't give up on people. Like, sometimes just give up, okay?
Sometimes you should.
It's not serving you.
Some people really just, most people, I think, don't actually change too much. So
not really.
He's not. Baby, if you're hearing this right now, it's a sign. He's not going to change.
Not going to change. Not going to change.
This is a message from the universe. He is not going to fucking change. Go live your life. Fucking
and
go.
Yes, you can do this. And yes.
You can do it. It's going to be weird. Get yourself a nice
cut
therapist.
The ties.
It's going to be weird.
No more family. No more his family excuse. Ew, no more the merged family's excuse. No.
You'll figure it
out.
You
are strong.
I'm a kid of divorce.
You can do
figure
this.
It out. You can figure it out and be so much more happy.
We're
happier.
Here for you.
We got you.
We love you.
And go make some paintings.
Go make some fucking paintings. And yeah, go make some paintings.
Go make some paintings. Check us out. You can always DM us.
DM us.
Baroque.b.podcast. So DM us if you related to this story, which I think a lot of you might. Mm-hmm. So we've all kind of been there
I've
with
been
that
there.
Weird, with feeling that fucking feeling of betrayal of like, is my heart really breaking? Like literally fucking breaking right now. I can feel it.
Into your throat.
I feel
throat.
That it's not right. Yeah. It like affects your body.
Yeah.
You feel sick. Like we've been there,
but
it gets better.
It gets better. Listen,
your soulmate is waiting for
you.
Your
king or queen or they, them waiting for you.
Yeah. Yes.
But thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. We love you. See you next week. Bye.
Yeah. I'm like Frida Kahlo, making art my motto. Call me Desperado. Think I hit the line.